So I went to Walmart last night about 9 o'clock, and it was actually embarrassing how many guys were standing in the card aisle last night at 9 o'clock. I mean, it was to the point where I had to wait, which meant I was waiting to get a card at 9 o'clock last night, too. I had to wait my turn to get close to the, and it's an entire wall of cards. I had to wait, I had to stand back and go, come on, guys, couldn't you have done this earlier? And then as soon as the one got out of the way, I went in and grabbed my card. But I had to wait for to get a card. And I think there's a reason for that, not just a card, but the whole present thing for Mother's Day. What do you get your mom for Mother's Day? I really think moms are some of the hardest people to get a gift for because they just have everything. No, I didn't mean it that way. They're hard to buy for because there's nothing special enough to express the appreciation and the love that you have for them, and it's hard to put it in some type of figurine or bag of flowers or something like that. And I love my kids because they each made Kathy something. Titus made her a little monkey at school, I think thanks to Kim. He made her a little monkey that was this beautiful, and Reagan spent yesterday sewing. It started out as a pillow, and it turned into a handbag. Is that right? Beautiful handbag. And those are awesome expressions of kids' love for their parents and for their mom. This doesn't seem to quite get it. So as I was walking around Walmart looking for what to get for our moms and sight on the aloe vera, I was thinking, what do moms want the most? What do they want? And Scripture actually, I think, answers that in a really, really neat way. What I'd like to do, I'm going to give you a quiz, okay? I'm telling you up front, this isn't a pop quiz. I'm going to tell you up front, I'm going to give you a quiz here in just a few minutes on this passage of Scripture that I'm about to read to you. So I want you to listen very closely, very intently, to this passage of Scripture. It's just six verses. It's from 2 John, the smallest book in the Bible, 2 John, chapter 1 through verse 6. And here's what it says. If you want to pull it up on the screen, they can do that. As soon as I get done, you got to wipe it away, okay? Because I don't want for no peeking and no cheating on my quiz. So here it is. 2 John, chapter 1. It says, the elder, and here's where it got me with Mother's Day. The elder to the chosen lady and her children. See where I got this for Mom's Day? To the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all who know the truth. Because of the truth which lives in us will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and in love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Turn it out. Take it off screen. All eyes up. Nobody looking down. Here's a quiz. How many times were the words truth or love used in that passage? I saw someone cheating right off the bat. Diana, oh, she's just looking down. All right. No cheating. How many of you believe that the word truth was used more than love? Raise your hand. How many of you think truth was used more than... Come on, you got to be committal somewhere. You're all going to fail if you don't raise your hand for one or the other. Truth. How many of you think truth was used more than love in that passage? Raise your hand real tall. Don't be shy about your answer. Okay, how many of you think love was used more times in that passage? How many of you did not vote at all? Okay. What? How about a tie? Very interesting. The reason I wanted to do that is because I think we kind of gravitate towards one or the other. I think even in our minds, as we're listening to a passage like that, if we're more prone towards truth, we hear the word and we gravitate and we hang on to the idea of truth. Okay? And if we're more prone towards the love, when we hear the word love, it kind of resonates with us and we hang on to the idea of love. The truth of the matter is, it was a tie. There was an equal number of truth and love in that passage. It was 5 times truth, 5 times love. But as you're listening to it, as you're concentrating on it, one of them might stand out just a little bit more. And the one that stood out, if you raised your hand for truth, more than likely you are a parent or a mom or a parent who focuses on or is strong with or emphasizes the truth. That's a great thing. The truth will what? Set you free. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Truth is an absolute thing. And where do we find the truth? In God's word. Pilate said, what is truth? And that question is still being asked almost every day. Actually, every day in our world. Because people are so confused about what truth is, where we find truth. Or your truth is yours, and mine's mine. That's not truth. You see, there is an absolute in our world, and there's one person who is able to set that absolute. It's not me, it's God. God is the one who is able to set the absolute truth that we can count on, we can abide in, we can live by, that will give us life, because that life comes through his truth, through his son. The problem is, if that's our main focus is truth, it can create an unstable environment. Because if we're always banging on, this is the truth, that's the truth, you got to do this, you got to do that, what happens is we can actually drive people away from the truth by continually hammering and hammering and hammering on the truth. If we are guiding our life by these guidelines and these rules and these fails of rules and all these different things, what happens is people say, you know what? If that is truth, if that is what you are living for and why you're living, I don't want to have anything to do with it, because it smacks of judgmentalism. It smacks of intolerance and pain. What it does is sets a standard so high that nobody can live according to it. And so when you get to the point where you realize, you know what, I can't, there's no way I can measure up to the truth, a lot of people just give up. They fall away. There's an interesting passage on truth in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I decide where to start. I'm just going to start in verse 1. Is that all right? Even if it's not, I'm going to anyway. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Verse 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, did you hear that? Let me read it to you again. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. And a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. Okay, what happens in so many families? What happens? We set up these rules, and rules are good. Rules have to be there. They've got to be there. If you don't have rules, then you're going to have chaos in your house. But the rules are there to be a guideline to keep us in the place that God wants us to be. They are not something that is supposed to be hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered, and that's the only part of your home. You see, if you have a home that is just completely filled with rules and no grace, no love, it can actually drive your kids away. It actually drives people away. Understand the one truth. Uh-oh, I saw some looks there. I'm going to look over this way because I don't want to even touch that. There is one truth that we need to hang on to more than anything else. And it covers all the other truth. It was so amazing that Larry and Kathy came up and read it. He says, there's basically one rule. And if you follow this one rule, this one truth, it encompasses all the rest of them. It says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That one truth, that one rule encompasses all the rest. Truth that we just read in 1 Timothy, the idea that there is one God and there is one mediator to that truth, Jesus Christ, is the most important truth that you will ever pass on to your children. That there is a God and He has a plan, and that plan's for you. See, that's truth. All the other rules will fall underneath that one. You can get that one rule, that one truth into their lives. Everything else builds on it. It is the foundation of truth in our world. That's why it's so amazing that the world is cut into that one thing that, oh, there's not really a God. See, if there's not really a God, that we were just all mixed together in some big soup and came out happy and joyful and with all this stuff that we've got surrounding. If there is no God, then there is no rule maker. There is no one who has a standard. There is no one who is allowed to set that standard. And if there's no one allowed to set the standard, then everyone can set their own standard. And that's what we've got going on in our world today. Your truth is yours, and now follow my truth, and you can follow your truth. And if we disagree, then that's no big deal. You just do your thing, and I'll do my thing. And it creates chaos. Look what we've got. There is truth that comes through Christ. But not just truth. You see, in this passage that we're looking at in 2 John, it sees that there's a combination. It's an equal part truth and love. Look at what it says. It says, whom I love in the truth, and not only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us will be with us forever. The Father and the Son will be with us in truth and in love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, after the truth has been established, now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but the one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this love, that we can walk in obedience to His commands. As you heard from the beginning, His command is that we walk in love. So we've got truth on this side, and that truth is an important combination of what needs to happen in the family. We need to be giving our kids the truth. We need to be telling the basic truth of who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and what He's done for us. And the other side of it is love. And we need to have love in our lives. We need to have love towards our children. If you just have truth and no love, it creates a legalism. If you just have love, which is wonderful, it's a great thing, but if you have just love and no truth, then it creates another type of chaos in which there's no rules and it's just a free-for-all in your family and in your lives and in the world. And love is a wonderful thing, but just love creates an environment where I can do anything to anyone at any time with no boundaries. And it creates a chaos all of its own. You see, in order to have that balance, in order to raise our children, in order to have children that are well-adjusted and going on the right path, there needs to be a combination, an equal combination of the truth and love, of mercy and love and grace and rules. You know what truth and love combined together equals? If we had like a little math equation up here, truth plus love equals what? Obedience. truth plus love equals obedience. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 1 and 3, it says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment. There's the truth, the commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. You see, truth, the rules, plus love equals obedience. Now, you can just have truth and you can have obedience for a while, but if all you do is continually harp on the truth and continue to harp on the rules, guess what? You're going to have a rebellion against those truths. Does anyone experience that? Anyone raised like that? Whew! I know exactly what it's talking about. If it's rules, 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 and punishment, then eventually you run away from it. On the other hand of the sign, has anyone just been loved, just been raised with just love, just do whatever you want, the flower child? Yeah. You see, there needs to be a combination of the two, and then you'll find people or children who are walking in complete obedience. So what is this present that we talked about at the very beginning? What is it that every mom wants to see? Every single mom, if you could have the greatest gift, in fact, I bet you I could have all the moms stand up, and I bet every one of them would agree with this one gift that they would love to receive. As a matter of fact, if I was staying up here when Eric was singing, I bet you I would have seen a mom who was a receiving part of that gift. Did you have tears in your eyes when he was singing? You did. I knew you did. Because what Janice got to experience when Eric was up here singing was a picture of that incredible gift, because her son was singing a song about his willingness to follow Jesus, to be faithful to him, to trust in him, to look to him in all things. And there is no greater gift for any mom who is here, if she's being honest with you, than to see her children be faithful to know him. The passage that Diane shared with us Tuesday night was in 3 John, and it just stuck with me. It was 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy. There is no greater gift that anyone could give to me. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. No greater gift. Children are walking in truth, in obedience to God. There's no greater gift that you can give to your mom than the knowledge that you know the truth, that you know Jesus, that you've been obedient to him, not only in your first step of obedience in that watery grave of baptism, but an obedience that continues on throughout life, each and every day, trusting in him, seeking him, desiring him in your life. Continue to fellowship with those of like precious faith. There is no greater gift. Moms, raise your hand just so you know, the kids know, if this is true for you, if there's no greater gift that you could ever receive than to know that your child knows Jesus and is following Jesus and will be with Jesus for eternity. Raise your hand if you would like nothing else in all the world today, and know that your child is following Jesus. Just raise your hand. Moms, raise your hand if that's what you want. Kids, look around. It's all they want. The greatest gift that you can give them is the knowledge of the truth and the love that only comes through the Father. It's what they desire. Thing is what God desires. So if you'd like to give mom the greatest Mother's Day present this week, I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to share with you right now. Kids, if you want to give them the most special gift, sit down with mom and dad this week and tell them where you're at. Sit down and say, Mom, you know, I made that decision a long time ago to follow Jesus. I know I've slipped away. Because I love you and because I love him who loves me, I'm turning back to him. I'm going to make sure that he becomes a priority of my life. I'm going to sing songs about him. I'm going to know him more fully. And maybe sometime this week you need to go to your mom. Include your dad too, because we love it too. Sit down with your mom and dad and say, you know what? I need Jesus. I need to talk to you about it. If you're waiting for your kids to come and talk to me, it could be a long ways. Maybe you need to sit down and talk with them about their need for Jesus. Let's get this sealed. Let's get it done. Let's allow your life to be cleansed in such a way through the baptism, through the cleansing of through water, so that that Holy Spirit may dwell with you forever. Make a room, a place in your life for Jesus. I can guarantee you there will be no greater tears of joy that you will ever see in mom and dad's face than your willingness to obey. Follow him. It's the greatest gift you'll ever give him. Because it's not a gift they put up on the shelf and have to dust or dust around. It's not something that they're going to put in the cupboard and later it's going to break. It's going to be a gift that will last for eternity, that no rust will destroy, no moth will kill. It's ensuring your relationship as mother, son, and mother, and daughter forever. Happy Mother's Day. I pray that this week you have some amazing conversations in your home. And God's truth and love are mixed into an incredible obedience who you are and who you want them to be. Amen? I'm done. This morning, if there's a decision that needs to be made, maybe there's some moms out there. Maybe there's some moms that need to take that step first, that need to show a shining example to their children, that they need to put that truth and that love together in obedience today so their children may know that they believe. Today's a great day. Maybe you're a child who's sitting out there right now, no matter what age, whatever age you are, and you want to give mom the greatest gift right now. You just want to let her know that you believe in Jesus, that you want him to be your Lord and Savior. As we're singing this song, moms, kids, as we're singing this song, if you need to make that decision, don't put it off. As we're singing this song, I'm going to invite you to just walk down the aisle. I'm going to be standing right over here. You're not going to get wet today. There's no water in the baptism. Come up and give that confession of faith. Allow the process of Jesus to start entering in. Start today. Give your life to him. There's no greater way. Stand and sing.